9 towers grow along the steep cliff face, clinging to the stone. A round, flat platform extends from the rock, forming a foundation for the towers. The cliff face behind the tower has been mined out, leaving behind a cavern populated by tile-roofed buildings connected by covered walkways. There are 2 clearings amongst the buildings where yellowed grass is visible. The first is located between the towers on the extended platform. It has a semicircle pool of frozen water, with 3 circular, flat-topped obelisks emerging from it. The second clearing is smaller and ovular, with deep gouges in the field. Surrounding it are raised stone benches. Snow lingers in small piles wherever shadow rests, though it is melting in the warm, easterly breeze blowing into the cavern on this Sunday morning. Welcome to Wildcliff, School of the Arcane. Sitting on wooden chairs on either side of the hall near the small, ovular grass field are 11 young individuals and a 12th empty chair. Each is wearing an open, navy blue robe with their casual clothes visible underneath. You've been gathered here on this early Sunday morning by Professor Underbow, head of the Enchantment Department, in order to perform individual assessments and assign each new student to a 3-person team. He has asked you to wait patiently in the hall until all the assessments have been completed. If you guys would like to describe your characters, starting with Winsler.
That's me. So, I am Winsler Wallaby, a very short little gnome wizard.
And now I would like to move on to Mira.
Hi, I'm Mira Marchand. I'm a tall half-elf with dark skin and tightly coiled hair and a big smile.
And finally, Integrity.
Hi, my name is Integrity Idleberry, and I am red-haired, sort of orange skin, and I'm 5'2".
All right. Integrity, you're seated in the second seat from the door, so the door is off to your right. And then in your right is the vacant seat of your roommate, Sylvie. She's a golden dragonborn, and her Professor Underbow has placed her in charge of ensuring all students remained in the hall while he was performing the assessments. She's currently arguing with a white dragonborn you recognize from your martial applications of magic class, Murundeen Purebone. He's tall and broad, but his frame isn't quite filled out yet. And he's attempting to convince her that since he finished his assessment, he could just come back when Professor Underbow is ready to announce the team assessments. But she's adamant that he needs to stay. To your left is a half-elf you spoke to briefly in Ophelion, the elven capital, before you were teleported to the school. Mira, you're seated in the third seat from the door. To your right is the tiefling Integrity, who you spoke to before leaving Ophelion, and to your left is your roommate Alina Hollyfield, a halfling. She's kicking her feet back and forth as they hang off the chair and is engrossed into a tiny book titled Moon of Sorrow. And finally, Winsler. You are seated directly opposite from the tiefling girl. To your left is your roommate, Kurt Orlane, a human. He's currently asleep with his head leaned backwards against the stone pillar behind him. To your right is a halfling playing intently with a small metal puzzle box. Sitting next to him was the white dragonborn you met in the bridge fort named Murundeen, but he has continued to argue with the other dragonborn. After a few moments of everyone kind of sitting here in the silence, Winsler, you hear a bit of rustling coming from underneath your clothing, kind of in a small pocket in your robes. What would you like to do?
I want to unbutton my pocket and see what's making the rustling.
In the little pouch, you see a small gray cat who is awakening from his cat nap, and he kind of looks up at you and squints a little bit and kind of whispers, "Would you please keep that noise down? Some people are trying to get some sleep."
"I'm sorry, Mr. Wiggles, but you know what's going on right now. We can't exactly just keep quiet."
"No, it has nothing to do with this. Down the hall, there's that racket going on."
"Racket?
Can you not hear it?"
"No, I can't."
"Okay. Well, I would be willing to, I don't know, offer some..." And he kind of looks up at you, disdainfully, tummy scritches in exchange for you going and finding out what's making that noise.
I know how much you love tummy scritches, and I know how much I love them too. So yeah, let's go find out what that sound is.
He kind of sighs, and Winsler stands up. On the other side of the hallway, it's a very quiet hallway. It's early in the morning. No other students are really out and about. It's just the 12 or 11 of you, I guess, in the hallway. Besides the argument that's hushedly going on near the door, nothing else is really taking up the auditory landscape. So, Mira and Integrity, from like 3 feet away, you have no problems hearing a hushed, deep voice coming from the small gnome sitting across from you's pocket. And then, as he stands up and a small gray cat jumps out of his pocket, you have nothing but curiosity. What would you like to do?
I'm going to get up and I'm going to go, do you have a talking cat?
I will turn around to the source of the voice and I attempt to quickly grab Mr. Wiggles before he can trot off along ahead of me.
He gets picked up and he's sitting there quietly and kind of looks at you and looks at this girl who's addressing you and kind of making a bit of a racket. All the other students kind of look up from the things that they're absentmindedly doing while they're waiting.
I'm going to turn around and show this individual, Mr. Wiggles. This is my friend, Mr. Wiggles.
Hi, Mr. Wiggles. I'm Mira. He's so cute.
I know, he's so adorable.
How long have you had him?
Oh, I've had him since I was a little bit younger than I am now, about 5 years ago.
Wow, that is so cool.
He's my best friend and loyal companion.
The cat looks up at you, Mira, and it just says, meow. And it is very not, it is not what cats sound like. It sounds like a human trying to make a cat noise.
Hi to you too. And I wave.
It kind of like looks up at Winsler in kind of like a, let's get on with it, come on.
I sort of understand what Mr. Wiggles is getting onto, and I just let him drop to the floor.
He drops to the floor and heads to the right from where you were sitting, so away from the argument that was transpiring near the doorway.
I'm just going to briefly look around at my surroundings for a little bit, and then I'm going to quickly scamper off to where Mr. Wiggles wandered off to.
Okay. As you start to walk away, everyone's kind of dropped notice of you now that nothing interesting is happening. I don't know what Mira's doing.
I was kind of wanted to tag along, to be honest.
Okay, absolutely. Mira is standing next to you. You have a tall half-elf standing next to you, kind of bouncing along for a few steps until you hear a voice cry out and say, hey! And then as you both turn around, the small gold dragonborn kind of runs over to you and goes, where do you think you're going?
We're allowed to wander, right?
No. Professor Underbow said you had to stay right here until everything was done.
We're not going far. Are we going far?
Yeah, I don't think we're going that far. We just want to see what's over this way.
You hear an adamant meow.
I start noticing what's happening, so I walk up to Sylvie and I tell my roommate, they're good, I'll go with them.
And she looks at you and kind of looks like wide-eyed and she goes, are you absolutely sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I'll take care of them. Don't worry about
it. Now, are you lying? Are you lying in this moment? Are you telling the truth?
Me?
Are you attempting to go off and get into mischief in this moment?
No.
Because if that's the case, you would have to roll deception.
No, I'm just...
And if you're telling the truth, then I'm going to need you to roll persuasion.
I am telling the truth.
Okay. So go ahead and roll a d20 and add your persuasion modifier.
Our first ever roll.
Oh, golly.
So excited.
Hallelujah.
You better be good. 15.
She kind of looks at you, closes her eyes. And goes, okay, all right, okay, 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 yeah, okay, okay, don't burn me.
Okay, Sylvie, bye.
She kind of turns around and runs after the white dragonborn who had started to walk away very quickly and kind of yells after him like, hey, and then you guys are good. What would you like to do now?
So where are we going?
Yeah, where are we going?
So the noise was to the right, and there's a door at that far.
No, it's just an open just hallway. Open
hallway?
There's like a T intersection at the end.
Okay. Me and Mr. Wiggles, we're going to go see what was down at the end of this hallway here.
Cool. Let's check it out.
Okay, so the three of you, following behind Mr. Wiggles, proceed down to the end of the hallway. You turn left as Mr. Wiggles kind of wanders through, looking around, trying to find out where exactly the source of this noise is coming from. You wander left and right around a few corridors, and you pass by a large 7-foot-tall construct who's wearing a brilliant blue robe, a bit brighter than the ones you're wearing, and has a crystal ball for a head, and it kind of looks at you guys and just waves slowly at you as it goes back to just sweeping the ground.
I wave back.
It seems pretty pleased as punch that you waved back.
Aww.
And then after a few more moments in the same hallway that this large lumbering figure is in, Mr. Wiggles stops in front of a door and looks at you expectantly. And at this point, the three of you can hear a fairly loud ruckus coming from inside the door. And he goes, meow.
Mr. Wiggles, you don't have to be so formal.
He kind of sniffs and looks at the other two and goes, meow. And kind of just like sits against the wall and curls up, looking at you expectantly.
I'm going to turn to the other two and say, I'm sorry about Mr. Wiggles. He's usually much more sociable than this.
Oh, it's fine. So, what do you think is behind the door?
I don't know. There's some weird noises coming from it. I guess Mr. Wiggles was able to hear that from far away.
Well, if he's curious, aren't you?
I guess I am a little bit curious.
I'm going to put my ear right up to the door.
I need to roll a perception check.
Absolutely. That's a 9?
You hear shuffling, some scuffling, a bit of cursing, but nothing too distinct.
I look back at the others and I shrug.
Alright, so to describe this door, it's like just a plain wooden door. There's a small keyhole and an iron handle on it.
Is this door sort of elevated? So is there like a small creak in the bottom that you could...
Yeah, I would say so. Probably about a half inch or so.
Okay. I'm going to get down on my hands and knees, and I'm going to see if I can peer under the door just a wee bit.
Okay. You don't see too much. There's a bit of torchlight coming from in there, and you see the bottom of a few shelves, and you see kind of just scattered junk across the floor. Little powders, some rocks here and there. Nothing too interesting. Mm-hmm. Would anyone else like to do anything?
Can I try to listen in again?
You can roll perception again, yeah.
So I'm going to put my ear on the door, and I will try to listen. Absolutely. And perception?
Yes.
Oh, it was a 9.
You hear a little bit of cursing, some scuffling, the exact same things that Mira hears.
Should we go check it out?
The large lumbering figure kind of wanders over to you at this point and goes, are you lost?
Well, we're not lost exactly. Do you know what's going on?
The figure kind of looks at the door and goes, this is the evocation department storage room.
Pretty loud for a storage room.
They listen for a couple seconds and go, this is about standard.
Cool.
Are you lost? Do you need to be returned to your professor?
I think we can do that ourselves, but thank you for offering.
Absolutely. And they kind of wander back over, and you can't tell if they're looking at you because it is a crystal ball for a head, but they are sweeping completely facing you, so it's safe to assume. Would you guys like to do anything else?
I really want to see what's behind that door.
Me too.
Me three.
Okay. It has a handle.
I want to grab the handle and see if the door moves at all.
It wiggles a bit, but it is locked.
Mr. Wiggles.
He looks up at you.
Do you think you could slide...
Annoyed.
Sorry to annoy you at this time, but do you think you could slide under the little creak in the door and unlock the door from us?
He looks up at you, looks at the creak in the door, and looks up at you and goes, no, and puts his head back down. And then he puts his head back up very quickly and says, meow.
Do you guys think if we knock, they'll just let us in?
We could try that.
I knock.
Any noise that you did hear from the other side immediately stops. And then you hear a bit of shuffling. And then you hear a voice on the other side go, who is it?
Just some students? Checking out.
Are you dangerous?
No.
Roll a persuasion check, please.
All right.
Which should be your bread
and butter. Yes, that was a nat 20 plus five. Boy, 25.
Okay. There's a bit of a pause, and then the voice goes, okay. And you the door creaks open, and in you see a small one-eyed face staring back at you. And it's scaly and hunched over, has these little craggly hands, and goes, quickly, quickly, come in. And ushers you inside and then closes and locks the door once more. And inside, it's a mess. So it's this small, probably 10 by 10 room. There's wooden shelves that line the walls. And it seems as if 90% of everything that's in this room has been pulled off the shelves and thrown into a heap on the floor. And the figure who let you in is kind of standing holding a little wooden box that's just filled with pebbles. And they immediately disregard the fact that you're in the room and go back to sifting through the pebbles. And they seem to look at one, turn it over, and then just throw it over their shoulder and pick up another exact same process.
What are you looking for? Can we help?
Oh, I'm looking for my rock. I lost it. And he holds up a small rock and says, it looks somewhat like this one, but green.
And then he throws that one on the ground.
Hmm. I do a quick scanning of the room with my eyes.
Investigation or perception, your choice.
I'll do investigation.
And you can roll as well, integrity, if you would like.
That's a 12?
4.
12 and a 4. Integrity, you find a small-looking little rock. It's a bit green, and it looks kind of like the one he showed you. Mira, you sift through the little pile down. You get down on your hands and knees, sift through the pile a bit. It's a lot of just powders and flowers and not a lot of rocks. The only rocks that seem to actually be in the room are the bin that he's looking through, and he doesn't seem to be finding anything he's looking for.
Okay.
And he's continuing this process of
not that one. Not that
one. Are you looking over here?
He looks up at you and goes, I already looked over there.
You sure you didn't miss anything?
He looks up at you and kind of like thinks for a second and goes,
I'm moderately sure that I didn't miss anything over there.
And kind of walks over to you with box under his arm and looks on a couple of the shelves and he goes,
no, it's yay big. Yay big. And it's very pretty and green.
Hmm.
It wouldn't be in here. I'm looking for a replacement in here. The actual one isn't in another room.
Well,
but the pretty, I think I found the pretty one in here, so there should be other pretty ones in here, too.
If
my logic stands to reason.
If the real one is in the other room, why are you in here?
Oh, well, that's simple. I don't want to go in the other room.
Why not?
It's very large and well lit. And there's the walking stones, so...
The what?
There's the stones that walk around.
Stones that...
And I dropped it when I was in the ceiling. And it is gone forever now, and I need a replacement.
You dropped it in the ceiling?
I was in the ceiling.
You were in the ceiling, and you dropped it in the room.
Yes. There's a large pool. It splashed into the pool. And that was the last I'm ever going to see it. And now I need a new one.
What was so important about this rock?
Oh, it was very pretty.
Well, couldn't you just find, I don't know, maybe one that wasn't?
Another rock. A rock that is not pretty.
Well,
aren't all rocks the same?
Beauty is about what's inside the rock, right?
I think what beauty is when you have a pretty green rock.
Yeah, that's fair.
And what's not beautiful is when you drop it into a pool of water.
Where did you get this green rock from?
I got it from this room.
Also, what were you doing in the attic?
That's my business.
But shouldn't we know? Shouldn't we know what you were doing up there if we want to actually help you out?
Can you please make the third persuasion check, please?
Ooh, that's a 20, not natural.
Oh boy, howdy. Well, I enjoy watching the stone men work and distribute the beautiful items that they keep in the room. I myself am very scared of the stone men. One of them kicked me once, and it was a very bad month. So that is why I say it's lost for me.
Well, that doesn't seem very good.
I agree. I enjoy staying in the ceiling, but there are holes in the ceiling, and I did drop my stone. So you see the dangers associated with my position.
Yeah, I really think you should be more careful next time as well.
Oh, I agree. I plan to invest in a strap. Now, you young, kind souls wouldn't happen to, and he kind of clicks his little talons together, wouldn't happen to know how to get this for me. You wouldn't happen to be able to go there, and you're not scared of the stone men now, are you?
No, of course not.
They sound really cool. Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Well, if that's the case, then could I perchance exchange a little information in so that you might do me this favor?
What kind of information?
Well, this is it. I know lots of little secrets about this school. I'll show you where the sunken hatch is.
What's the sunken hatch?
And my... it's this little hatch in the ground that's next to my house.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Well, it's a deal. And he extends this little scaly hand out towards you.
I emphatically shake it.
He shakes back, and then he looks towards you, Winsler, and puts out his hand.
I'm going to softly grab it and say, hey, we never really got your name.
Oh, I am just the lowly Teb.
That's an interesting name.
It's a pleasure to meet you too, children. What are your names?
I'm Mira. It's nice to meet you. You might know me from the various clubs and activities in which I engage, such as, checks notes, the book club, the embroidery club, the foreign languages club, the music pres, the club, I have a lot of clubs. The book club, the embroidery club, the foreign languages club, the music club, of which I'm the vice president, and the event planning committee.
That is a very busy schedule.
Yeah.
Oh my. You, the one I'm the same size as and make me comfortable feeling next to. Who are you?
My name's Windsor Wallaby, and I would show you my cat, Mr. Wiggles, but he's not very friendly right now.
Ooh, I really don't like cats.
Oh, Mr. Wiggles is very friendly. You'd love him.
I don't think so.
Mr. Wiggles!
There's no answer.
Mr. Wiggles, get in here!
And he turns to you, finally, Integrity, and goes, the lowly Teb in your name?
I shake his hand, and I just say, Integrity, Integrity, Idleberry.
And he shakes your hand and goes, very mysterious, very mysterious. It's a good look, you know?
And I just nod.
And he goes, well, and puts his hands on his hips, kind of like assessing the situation, happy with the fact that he's found people to help him out, and goes, gotta go get that now. Kind of, time is the essence, folks, you know? And walks over the door and unlocks it and, like, gestures out. You know where to find me.
Uh-huh.
Please go get my rock.
I go.
Hurry on.
I slowly walk out.
Okay.
Now, will you be in this room or will you be in the attic?
I'll be here.
Alrighty.
Exactly here. All right. Goodbye. Good luck.
Goodbye.
I wish you well.
Bye.
The stone men are very scary. Good luck. And he slams the door behind you and locks
the door. The door closes and I look at them and I go, that guy was so weird. I love it. Let's go.
He seemed friendly enough.
Not surprising. I say.
I've seen lots of people with scales, but never one of his size.
All right. So, if someone wants to make me a history check to remember the tour that you received on your very first day of school for what room this might be,
nope.
I would love that.
I can do that. Ooh, not bad. That's 18.
Okay. All right. So, you would know very easily. You obviously, this is the reliquary. that belongs to the enchantment department. It's where all the magical items are kept for the school. And you do know that there are stone golems who kind of work as the attendants there.
Oh, well, he didn't do a very good job of describing this room, but this is what's called the reliquary. I read about this in the school brochure.
Reliquary? I mean, it seems like a stone would fit right in.
It's where they keep all the magical items. Oh, I'm so excited.
Cool.
I wish Mr. Wiggles was here to see this.
He's napping in next to the wall. He's right there. You could just snatch him up if you want.
I'm going to reach down and quickly pick him up.
Absolutely. He goes meow, and he goes straight in your pocket.
Perfect.
Okay. And you guys make your way straight to the reliquary. Are you making any attempts to avoid being seen by faculty or people working at the school?
Well, we're not really breaking the rules, are we? Really?
I'm sure they'll understand.
I need to sort of lay low. I've been having some trouble with the school. So I'm going to try to hide while they walk.
You're going to try to, like...
while we, like, conspicuously... don't yeah.
Like, just, like, hide your face from people walking by.
Please don't look at me.
How do you hide yourself while you walk? Describe that to me, please.
I basically, like, bring my head down, and I sort of, like, walk closer to the wall, you know?
Oh, okay.
My face, like, looking down, looking to the mm-hmm. wall. Mm-hmm. It's not very good, but...
Just like the goth kids in middle school. I love it.
Okay, I need you to make a stealth roll, then.
That's a 21.
Okay. You see your alchemy professor, Professor Happel, walk by, and like you skipped three of those classes already. You skipped two of them already. All two that happened this week. He knows your name, he knows your face, but he didn't see you this time. You're not getting in trouble. And you guys safely managed to make it towards the enchantment department.
Our greatest challenge
of the school.
Yet. Our only challenge yet.
Yeah. And you go down a very steep staircase that kind of like curves left and right into the mountain. And then you pass through this very ornate archway, and you've entered into this large ovular room. It has metal on like everything, so everything's just coated in this light casing of brass. There's shelves all along the walls. There's six orbs of white fire illuminating the room that are just floating around ambiently. In the center of the room is a large still pool that's reflecting the ceiling, which is pocked with a few minor holes. It is a natural stone ceiling. That's the only part of the room that isn't really coated in metal. And then walking around, there are these stone golems that are just lumbering, picking things up off of the tables, putting them on their cart, pushing their carts back to the shelves, and taking out these long black boxes and putting the magic item back in the shelf and putting it back on the shelf. Yeah.
Do they seem to notice us?
So they don't really seem to pay you any mind. They're just going about. There's probably four or five other students, but it's a big room.
Okay.
You won't be bothered. What would you all like to do?
Well, he said he dropped it in the pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should we check that out?
Yes, he did.
I say we march straight to the pool.
Straight to the pool?
Yes, three.
All right. So you walk probably 30 feet forwards, and there's a small railing. You kind of peer over it. It comes to your chin, Winsler, and the other two, it's just a normal size railing. And you peer into this pool. If everyone would like to make investigation checks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really good. That's a 20.
That's a 7.
I got an 11.
Okay. Winsler, you see a glint of green coming from at the bottom of the pool, which seems to be only a foot or so thick, or deep, I guess, so it's no issue whatsoever. Integrity, it's a pool of water. You're like entranced with the reflection of the ceiling. It's kind of weirding you out because there's a lot of holes in it. It's kind of like, oh, yucky. Mira, you see this glint of green coming from through the pool, and you also see tables below the water's surface.
Like in the pool?
Through the pool.
Like, there's a layer of water, and then there's no water underneath it?
It would appear to be that way.
Huh. And it's only about a foot deep of water?
It's only about a foot layer of water. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I think there's something not under the water, but under the water? Let's check it out. And then I slip into the water.
You just jump the fence and drop right down? Okay, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
I can't do that. It's a 13.
A 13. Okay. So you fall 20 feet through the water.
I do have feather fall. If I'm like, oh my god, I'm falling.
So you're falling 20
feet. Yeah, I'm going to cast feather fall.
Okay. You land without any damage whatsoever. Kind of like a bit of a stumble, but no big deal. Winsler and... integrity. Your associate, your classmate, has just vaulted over the railing and, for all intents and purposes, fallen through 1 foot of water, to your amazement. This still surface is completely maintained. Like, there was no ripples that were sent through it or anything. What would you like to do?
I'm going to slowly get over the railing. Mm-hmm. And... because I'm a very safe person, I will... Can I take out my rope and sort of wrap it around the railing and sort of fall down?
Repel ninja down. Style? Yeah, absolutely. Sure. No saving throw. You have 50 feet of rope on... Do you have your rope on you at the moment, currently?
How do I...
Like, you just have... Would you have rope if you were going to class?
Yes. I love pranks.
Okay. Sure, I'll believe you. So you have rope, you tie off your nice little hempen rope with a cute little bow and start to rappel down through the water. And you see this large ovular room. It's a bit less well lit. And there's a few tables down here and there's two stone golems walking around. You see your classmate descending slowly to the ground. Winsler, what would you like to do?
I just watched both my companions drop into this pool of water and they seem to have just vanished beyond this one, mm-hmm. this 1 foot thick of liquid. I'm going to open my pocket and gesture towards Mr. Wiggles. Now, Mr. Wiggles, I know you're not a fan of water, but I think we should.
I think
we should follow my new friend.
Yes, I would very much appreciate if you put me on that beautiful chair over there. And he, like, with his nose, points towards a very nice red leather chair that's sitting at one of the tables.
No, don't be such a scaredy cat. Let's go. Come on.
Very well.
I tightly secure my pocket. Attempt to climb over the railing.
Okay. Yeah, it is. If this is like for the other two, it's no issue. For you, it's an athletics.
Yeah,
please.
It's a bit of a challenge. Okay, not bad. That's a 16.
16. It's like you're huffing and puffing, but you get over it, you know? And you are standing on the precipice, holding on to the edge of the railing now. And so the pool's behind you.
Okay. How close is the rope that was tied to the...
Oh, it's right there.
Okay. I'll just grab that and follow Integrity down.
Absolutely. So the three of you descend carefully. And you all see this scene. It's the same size as the room above. It's not covered in metal. It's a bit less flashy. Everything is just natural stone and dark wood. And there's these two stone golems. One of them is a bit taller than the other. The taller one approaches the three of you immediately and goes, "What are you doing here? And what are your names? What professor gave you permission to come here?"
Hi. Sorry. My name is Mira. We were given permission to come here by Professor Austin because he dropped something and he wanted us to come and find it for him.
I'm going to need a deception check.
I can do that.
And this golem is going to roll insight against you.
That is a 20, 15 plus 5.
And he rolled an 8. So he goes, "Very well. What were your names once more?"
Mira.
And he looks at you, Winsler.
"I'm Winsler Wallaby. Nice to meet you."
"It is a pleasure." And he looks at you, Integrity.
Integrity Idleberry. And a nod.
very well. I have cataloged your names and faces in my databanks for later use. Thank you very much. I will consult Dr. Austin about this undignified use of the restricted section. And he kind of walks over towards one of the walls and touches it, and a small staircase appears, and he starts to lumber upwards.
We probably should have lied about our names, huh? I say Wait, very, did you very lie? Quietly. No, but I probably should have. I kind of thought he would just be like, oh, okay, cool, well, have a nice day, and just kind of be done with it. And have, like, a bad memory.
Are we in trouble?
Should we chase after him?
And I look around. Do I see the green stone that our friend here lost?
So, there's a small metal grate running the length of the room. Just like a thin, probably like half foot one underneath the tables. And it seems to be like a dust collection bin for people to sweep into. And you see a small glint of green coming from underneath one of the tables nearby.
I'm gonna really quickly rush over there and pick it up.
There's a grate and it's about 4 or 5 feet down.
Yeah, can I reach that?
No.
Oh, I can't reach that. Well, that's gonna make that harder.
No. You might not even be able to get your hand through.
I do have Mage Hand as a cantrip. I have Mage Hand, Vicious Mockery, and that's it right now.
I would say that Mage Hand would work perfectly in this situation, yes.
I'm going to have my little Mage Hand pick it up and hand it to me through the grate.
So the Mage Hand, a ghastly little hand appears and goes down, grabs the little... It's not so little. It's about 4 inches in diameter, and it's just a clear green orb, and it starts to bring it back up towards you, and it hands it to you. And waits for you to pick it up through the grate.
I do the thing.
All right. So in your hands now is what seems to be a perfect sphere. And it's this translucent dark green. Not even a scratch. Just a little bit of dust from being down in the dust collection. But that's it.
Is it as pretty as Teb said it was?
It's much prettier than Teb made it sound. Teb made it sound like it was a dumb little rock. And this is like a... pristine orb.
Very cool. I'm gonna slip it into my pocket for now.
Absolutely. The other shorter golem is going to lumber over and go, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I am Jeed.
Jeed? Nice to meet you, Jeed. I'm Mira.
It is a great pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mira. I would love to make a friend who is not another golem.
Well,
can I be your friend, please, Mira? And others?
Are you friends with that golem up there?
Yes.
I will be your best friend if you can get that golem to not talk to Dr. Austin about us.
Why would he talk to Dr. Austin about you?
Well, Dr. Austin lost something in here, and we agreed to go get it for him, but we didn't tell him we were going first, so if he goes up there and tells Dr. Austin that we were in here, he might get in trouble for telling us to come here, and we might get in trouble for coming here, even though we were really only trying to help.
Quite the predicament. I completely understand. Well, Mira and others, if you promise very much to provide me company occasionally, because it is very lonely down in the restricted section, I will find the other golem, Jeed, and tell him no. There is no need to report to Professor Austin.
Thank you.
Very pleasure meeting you.
I shake his hand. Or I try to shake
his
hand.
He puts out a... They don't really have hands. They're just kind
of
like...
I shake his stub of rock.
There's like
his
little
rock
stubs.
Stub. I shake that.
And he looks at the two of you and kind of wiggles it and then walks over towards the wall where other Jeed went up and follows him. So you're just alone down here in the restricted section. What would you like to do?
I would like to look around.
You want to look around?
I'm just very snoopy.
Okay. So in the north end, there's a gate that seems to be completely formed. Like just this mesh of stone, and beyond it is shelves similar to what is upstairs with the black boxes on them, and then there are 8 small doors located around the room.
Curious. Do you guys want to leave, or do you guys want to look around?
Well, if those guys are gone, we probably have some time down here, right? But we don't want to stay too long in case they realize we're kind of not where we're supposed to be, so maybe a little bit?
I really don't feel like we should be down here very long.
Well, we're already here, aren't we?
That's true, I guess.
Maybe we can think of it as us not snooping around, but us trying to look for a way out.
Uh-huh.
The rope behind you dangles, blowing in the non-existent breeze.
Anyway.
I'm going to walk over to the rope and try to climb up it.
I wonder what that could be.
Windsor, did you want to climb the rope?
Yes, I want to see if I can climb the rope.
Okay. I need an athletics check, Mr. Gnome. Mr. Gnome Wizard.
That's a 3.
Oh, a 3. You get up probably 3 feet, but it is really burning your hands, so you climb back down and decide to give up. girls, what would you like to do?
Who would have thought climbing would be so hard?
A lot of people.
It's very commonly accepted as a difficult thing.
Do I see any cool musical instruments or sheet music or anything fun that I could briefly look at, but not...
All you see is black boxes on shelves.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Are they openable? Do they look openable?
They're behind a stone, like, mesh.
Yeah.
So, you could probably go over and read some of the labels, but I don't know if... You could probably use your mage hand to get through there and try to open one, yeah.
I'm gonna read the labels first, because I don't want to use my mage hand and then look like a dumbass.
Absolutely. Yeah, look like a silly fool.
That would be really sad.
So... Make an investigation check for me, please.
Because my character is so smart.
So, actually, I'll give you an option here. Either you can take, like, 20 minutes and just look around and see. And if you're going to find anything, you would find it. Or you can make the check to do it in, like, 30 seconds.
No, I don't want to take 20 minutes. That's a 14.
Okay. A 14. You see a... box that says DOS loot.
DOS loot? Like DOS, like the German DOS?
Is German DOS DOSS?
No.
Then no.
Cool. I'm going to mage hand it open with my mage hand.
The mage hand starts to kind of pull the lid up, but it seems to meet a fair amount of resistance, and it is unable to.
Oh. Well, so much for that.
Start walking towards the rope.
Okay. You see Winsler there staring at his hands, dealing with rope burn for the first time in his
life.
Tears
in my eyes.
You all right there, buddy?
Oh, climbing so hard. I never needed to do it back on the farm.
Well, if you get on my back, maybe I can climb? I
immediately try to jump on her back.
Absolutely. You know, have a tiny... probably 30-pound gnome riding you like Yoda.
Sure do. I'm going to try to climb up with
Absolutely.
My buddy.
Please give me an athletics check. I will not give you disadvantage because he's very
tiny. He is tiny. That's actually good. That is a 20. 17 plus 3.
A 20. You nimbly, like it's as if you trained to climb ropes in your spare time, whatever spare time you actually have. You make it up no problem. You climb through the water, get over the railing, and you see the two golems kind of having a conversation. And by having a conversation, their faces are touching and they're not saying anything.
Oh, do they notice us right now?
No, they seem to be very distracted. The other ones walking around don't seem to pay you any mind whatsoever. Integrity, would you like to do anything?
I'm just going to climb the rope.
Climb the rope. Make an athletics check, please.
That is a 17.
You also easily climb the rope. Not quite as elegantly as Mira did, but still respectable, better than Winsler. And you see this same scene, like the main floor reliquary golems are wandering about, but these two that you recognize from the basement, because they're slightly larger, are just kind of forehead to forehead, not saying anything and not moving. What would you like to do? Just head back to the storage cupboard?
We should probably get out of here, huh?
Probably.
That would be the best plan, I think.
A student at a nearby table is kind of like looking up at you from his textbook, like, very like, what is happening right now? As he just saw three people jump down into the water and then climb up out of the water. But he doesn't really care enough to say anything. Like, you know, not his life.
Sure not, and I respect that. I think I'm going to head out. Okay. And back to our buddy Teb. Back to Teb.
All right. So you follow the same inconspicuous path that you took to get to the reliquary and find yourself standing in front of the door once more. Now, the clockwork golem who was standing here prior, the one with the crystal ball head, has moved only 10 feet down the hallway and is still sweeping. And they kind of look at you and go, hello once more, students.
Hi, nice to see you again. Long time no see. Ha ha ha.
And they sweep and they go, off doing schoolwork, I hope.
So much schoolwork.
Definitely.
We're overloaded.
I need all of you to make perception checks.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, that's actually not good. That is a 7.
Wait, actually, no. I might actually tell the truth.
Really? Yeah,
because that's Winsler for you.
Ugh, it is, isn't it?
No, I don't think any of us had a lot of work. We were out in some area that was behind this door here. I believe it was the reliquary.
Dude!
What? Lying's bad, you know?
Integrity, what did you roll?
17.
Oh, okay. So the golem kind of looks at you, Mira, and then at Winsler, and then at Integrity, and then doubly looks at Integrity, and then looks back at Winsler, and goes, what are your names once more, please? Mira, Winsler, Integrity, is that correct?
It is not correct.
I need you to make another deception check, please.
I'm going to say so close, but not quite.
11.
11. And Integrity, what was it?
5.
Interesting. The golem kind of stows its broom. And by stows its broom, I mean, like, literally puts it inside of itself, like, into its robes. And stands up straight and brushes themselves off and goes, very well, I will go get Professor Underbow, please stay here, and starts walking off towards the classroom where your individual assessments were going on.
I think we should get back to that room.
Have to stay here.
You guys are standing right in front of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna knock very quickly. I want to get back there before we get in trouble.
You hear a voice from the other side go, who is it?
Hi, it's us again. We have your pretty rock.
As you're talking, the door gets unlocked and single eye just like straight in your face. Well, not in your face. It's very short, but like staring straight at you and puts out a hand and goes, where is it?
I hand it to him. Here you go.
And he takes it and stares at it. It's like the same size as his eye. And he goes,
wonderful.
And kind of scuttles out of the room, closes it, pulls out a ring of keys, locks the door behind him, checks the door is locked, and he goes, wonderful. And then walks over to a small pillar, knocks twice on it, and it just, like, vanishes. And instead, there's a small hole going down with a ladder, and he goes, after you. This way to the sunken hatch.
We're going, like, right now?
Right now.
Does he seem like, is there anything suspicious here, or is this just...
You can roll an insight if you'd like.
We do need to get back. Oh, that's not a good. That's a 3.
I want to consult Mr. Wiggles and see what he thinks about this man.
Okay. Mr. Wiggles looks up at you, purring in his quiet little nap, and goes, "He seems odd, but perfectly safe."
"Okay, I believe you."
"Thank you, my young master, for ridding the nuisance of noise from my ears. I did promise you tummy scritches later, and I intend to keep the promise. So mark that in your journal, please. Thanks." And he goes back to sleep.
I'm going to immediately write that in my little journal.
Absolutely. So, what did you roll again?
I rolled a 3.
You're having a hard time reading this fellow. You've never met someone quite like this. You don't know what's just like personality. You don't know what's just bodily quirks or anything. So you're having a rough time of it.
Well, you know, Mira's not a rude person, so I think she's just going to be polite in that situation and follow.
Absolutely. Down the ladder you go. Would the other two follow?
Yes.
Okay. Integrity?
Can I find out, some more things about him?
By asking him questions or by rolling dice about it?
I would like to roll a dice.
Okay, what would you like to ascertain about this individual?
I don't know. I'm just really curious. I just want to get to know him and sort of like get an inkling of how he is as an individual, you know?
I would roll insight, I guess.
Let's become besties in the next 10 seconds.
3.
Okay, 3. Same thing as Mira. You've never met a person like this. He's not a person. Well, not say he's not a person. You've never met an individual quite like this, of this race, of this temperament, of this weird cyclope descendancy. So with your role of a 3, you do not become instantaneous best friends and know everything about him, unfortunately.
I just give in and I walk down, but sort of like I'm ready to fight if need be.
Okay. And he follows down after you, and before climbing completely down the ladder, he knocks twice on the floor and the pillar kind of shows right back up. And you guys are climbing in this very well-lit tunnel for a little bit. You go down probably 20 feet and then there's a small room that branches off into multiple tunnels, and he points at one and goes, "This way to the house," and starts like scuttling that way. And after a couple moments, you see holes poking into some of the underground rooms around campus. The menagerie, you see large cages and a few faculty workers kind of performing a couple of dissections, talking about their research. And then you walk for a bit longer, you actually see through one of the holes in the roof of the reliquary, and you see the two Jeds are no longer mind melding with one another. They've presumably gone back to the basement. And then you find yourselves at a flat stone wall. Teb is going to knock once, knock twice, and knock a third and fourth time in quick succession. And then the wall disappears. He walks through, checks if the coast is clear, and then gestures for you to follow him. Okay, you find yourselves in a kitchen. There doesn't seem to be anyone around, and it's fairly warm in here and very cramped. The ceiling's only about 6 feet or so, so very small. He then rushes over to a cupboard and begins to pull little jars of spices and seasoning off of the rack in what seems to be a very specific order. He then, after pulling 6 or 7 spices off of the rack, pushes this stone wall next to the spice rack, and it swings open, and he bows and says, "Welcome to my humble abode."
It's very, very cozy. Nice.
Uh-huh. He looks up at you and goes, "No, it's through the door. This is just the kitchen."
Oh.
I mean, the kitchen's nice too.
This isn't my kitchen. It's the school kitchen. I don't own this.
It is a nice kitchen regardless, and you have very good taste in abode locations.
It's objectively a very nice kitchen, yes, I agree. Uh-huh. And kind of like gestures for you to get going. Like, get in.
I get going. Right.
And he, as the three of you walk through, he closes the door and kind of lifts a switch, and you're in complete darkness. So, I think the three of you have dark vision, though, so that's no problem. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
He continues to lead the way, scuttling. It's just this rough stone tunnel for a couple of minutes, and it's slowly sloping downwards. The air is getting cooler. There's no real smells of anything, precisely. And then finally, after a couple minutes, you find yourself on a staircase now. Not just a regular stone caverned floor. And you walk for a couple of feet, and then the room starts to light up more and more and more, and then the room widens, and you find yourself in a large cylindrical room, the top of which is domed, and it tapers to a flat bottom at the very, like, 250 feet down, and the room itself is probably 100 feet in diameter. The staircase that you're on comes in one of the sides, and then follows the curve of the room down in a spiral towards the bottom of the cylinder. There is a single beam of light coming from a hole that is bored in the exact center of the ceiling, and the light falls on a small hatch. It looks small. It's probably fairly large, actually. A hatch at the bottom of the room. Around the staircase, there are landings every 10 or so feet with statues built upon them in little alcoves. And the ones that you pass initially are fairly deteriorated by time. There's usually only, like, the first five, there's only just the plinth and, like, a pair of feet on the plinth, and the rest of the statue seems to be broken away. And as you kind of descend, Teb kind of...
Yeah, this is my home. So this is the hatch. This is where I call home. I live, and he points probably halfway down. He goes, that's the statue I live behind. There's only two of us who live here. There's the thing in the next to the hatch, and then there's me up here, safe and sound, my little cove.
And he keeps going down and going down. You guys finally make it about halfway down the stairs. He pulls you in behind the statue, which is a bit more fully formed. There's probably up to the waist a pair of legs that aren't in great detail or anything. And behind the little statue is a hole, which he crawls through. Would you like to follow him?
Can we fit?
Yeah, it's pretty big. It might be a bit of a squeeze for Integrity and Mira, yeah, but...
I guess I'll squeeze through.
Okay, you squeeze on through.
Squeezing it.
I presume the two of you do as well.
Yes.
Okay.
First, I want to see... Having read the Wildcliff brochure, I want to see if I can remember if this room was included. Because it doesn't seem that familiar.
It was not included on the brochure. I can guarantee you that, no.
Okay, close, Baudelaire.
Okay, yeah, I'll follow.
Okay, this is like a regular door for you, so you just pop on through. Inside is a small natural cavern. There's a couple of furs on the ground. There's a small pile of rags in the corner that seems to be a makeshift bed. And there are a ton of shelves in the room that are just filled with little boxes of trinkets and such and so on. There is two bookcases in the room that are just filled with old dusty books that have very bright covers or bindings, I suppose. And then there's a couple of jars filled with powders and flowers and insects and such. And he goes, this is
the good old home. What do you think?
It's really nice. Are these your books?
Oh, I got these from... And he points up towards the school. He goes, no one's gonna miss them, though, so...
Looking at the covers, are they academic books or fiction books?
Languages do you speak?
Common, Elvish, and Halfling. Okay.
Nothing stands out to you.
Okay. And the jars? Those all yours or school's?
Yep, took those from the school too. Got myself a little handy keyring, and he jingles his little keyring. He's like, stole it off one of those golems. That's how I got kicked.
Oh. Does the school know you're down here?
Probably. I don't try to make myself a secret.
Wait, so you just... Is all the stuff stolen from the school? No.
It's a lot of stuff that was thrown away. I like digging through the garbage, you know. One wizard's trash is another person's treasure.
What do you do with
it? Although I would assume that everything a wizard has would have some sort of use. I don't see why they would throw it away.
I don't know. Maybe when you're a big shot wizard, you'll be able to make a difference in the world. Make less of that magical waste, you know, but this is the world we live in, you know. They're just dumping
magical
this,
efficiency.
They're just dumping this stuff in the garbage.
I guess there's nothing wrong with taking it for yourself then.
He nods enthusiastically.
Can I graze through the powders and sort of look at them if any of them looks familiar? And then I ask him, what do you do with these?
He goes, well, they're all very pretty to look at.
Is that really it?
He kind of looks at you guys expectantly, or just shocked, and goes,
what else is there to do with it?
Well, I don't know.
Is he telling the truth?
You can roll insight if you'd like, yeah.
He's a dirty little trash hoarder.
And what was it? Insight, right? 14.
He honestly could not think of another use for these objects other than to put them on a shelf and look at them.
Aww. He should be an interior designer. Find his calling, you know?
Of trash?
Yeah, that's... He can Derelict in Zoolander. It's the new aesthetic.
Oh my god.
I will say, the room... A, doesn't smell good, and B, does not look good. There's far too much stuff jammed inside this tiny room.
Should follow the Marie Kondo technique. If it doesn't spark joy, thank it and throw it out. Too bad one of those books isn't the life tidying magic of... Nope, that's not it. Tidying up.
Oh.
I love life tidying magic.
Life tidying magic.
Just tidy your life right up.
With magic.
Three easy steps. I want to take a look at those books to see if there's anything that stands out to me.
What languages, Winsler, do you speak?
I speak common, draconic, primordial, and gnomish.
Okay. There is one book that is entitled Rise of Gold. There is another that says Limit of the Banished. And those, out of probably the 40 that are present, are the only two that you recognize. And they are written in primordial.
Interesting. I want to take both those off the shelves and sort of skim through them.
Okay. The first seems to be an alchemy text that's very dedicated to transmutation of lead and other cheap materials into gold, as you might expect. Additionally, it has to do with an experiment where an alchemist transmuted a living person into a solid block of gold and attempted to sell them.
So it's essentially Midas, except he's an asshole.
Correct. Well, isn't that just Midas, though? I don't know history, isn't it?
No, I don't think he was...
Well, he got cursed because he,
I guess it was because he was, greedy, yeah. And then he was cursed that everything touched the gold, but then he got really depressed because I think he ended up,
He killed his daughter.
Yeah.
That's kind of assholeish, isn't it?
Yeah, but this guy is like intentionally turned this person into gold and then auctioned them off
for a large sum
as a commodity.
You could say he got their weight in gold.
Oh my god.
Hey.
No. Okay. What is Limit of the Banished?
Limit of the Banished is a book, a exploration, the discovery of the spell banishment.
Ooh.
And it's just kind of a journal that was written thousands of years ago, probably.
I will put back Rise of Gold and take Limit of the Banished for myself.
Okay. Would anyone else like to do anything?
I'm going to look at the powders, and can I take anything from, check if there's anything that I would want for my
absolutely
set?
Please roll a Arcana and add your, are you proficient in Arcana?
Nope.
But you are proficient with an alchemist kit, correct?
Yes.
So in this instance, I would allow you to add your proficiency bonus, because this would be technically be an Arcana alchemy check, okay?
I don't know what upwards that you just said.
Okay. So just roll your die, add okay your intelligence and proficiency bonus.
Intelligence and proficiency bonus?
Yes.
Where did I find my proficiency bonus? Okay.
Your proficiency bonus is +2.
So
that's it, it's just +2.
And so +3, +2. So that is an 18.
Okay. You find a ground up little container that says Cinder Ivy, which you know to be a reagent in a potion of fire breath. And it seems to be here in fairly high quantities, which is rare.
I'm going to take it.
Just snatch it straight off the shelf?
I can ask him if he needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask him if I need...
Yeah, you can just talk. You don't have to have permission to talk.
Hey, Teb, do you need this?
He's kind of like arranging some dead flowers on his table, and he looks up at you and goes, yes, it's very beautiful. And it's this like bright red powder in a very clear jar.
Is there any amount of money that you would take for me to have this?
He just looks at you very blank in the face and goes, what's money?
Do you want gold? It's very pretty.
He puts out his hand for you to give him gold.
I put like 3 gold in his hand.
You put 3 gold in his hand. He looks at it and is enraptured as the light from his cave shimmers off the beautiful edges. And he goes, and just nods his head enthusiastically and goes,
okay, this is gold. This is just, what's, okay, I have gold.
And he looks at, and he pushes past you and grabs a little flask that has like 3 tiny specks of gold in it, like gold nuggets, and goes,
this is gold. How is this gold? And points at the coins.
It's how we use gold.
You use it?
Yes, we do.
How?
We give it to someone to get something in return.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
I was exactly thinking that.
He is like jaw-dropping, like, you guys are like changing this guy's world. And as you exchange 3 gold for probably 2,000 gold worth of ingredients, that's where I think we're gonna stop for this episode.